All right, we're going to get started tonight as people are swimming their way in through the storm. We're going to continue on in our study of living faith from the book of James as we continue looking at James's call to repentance that he gives in verses 7 through 10, which is a call to repentance for those who are failing the tests of living faith that he's been laying out in this letter. If you remember, James has been teaching systematically that those who are vitally connected to the living Lord Jesus Christ will exhibit that redeemed life, that born-again life, by demonstrating a living faith in him on a daily basis. They'll exhibit it when it comes to trials, to treasures, to temptations, when it comes to the truth or their relationship to the church or their actions of the tongue, and they'll show it when it comes to times of decision or personal conflict that show up in their lives. Those who are born again will exhibit a living faith in all of these day-to-day ways. But what happens if you're not exhibiting this living faith? What happens if you start reading the book of James and everything that he describes is a foreign experience to you? And what happens if instead of being marked by living faith, you're marked by unbelief and living in sin and ignoring God's word and being divisive in your relationships and speaking down on others and being selfish in everything that you do and creating conflict with others? What happens if your faith is not being accompanied by the good works that James lays out here? Well, what needs to happen is some self-examination and repentance, because as James has already mentioned, faith without works is what? Dead. And so that's what Pastor James helps us to do here in verses 7 through 10. He gives us, if you will, a little booklet on repentance by which we can examine ourselves. And just like every book, it has a front cover, it has middle chapters, and has a back cover. Last week, we took a look at the front cover and title of this booklet in verse 7, where James writes, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." This is the fundamental call of repentance that strikes at the very heart of all human problems, which is a rebellion against God. James says, if any of those problems that so concern you in life are ever going to be addressed, you must first turn from your fundamental heart attitude, which is one of rebellion against God and his word, and you must submit yourself humbly to him. Come to the point where you honestly and humbly confess, you are God and I am not, and whatever you say in my life goes. That is repentance. That's the front cover, the title, the central theme throughout these verses and this booklet on repentance. Submit to God. Well, tonight, starting tonight in verse 7, end of verse 7 on to verse 9, we're going to start looking at the middle chapters of this booklet and begin discovering what it looks like to submit to God in repentance and faith. And there are three middle chapters on repentance that this booklet contains, three chapters where each chapter is organized around a pair of commands. At the end of verse 7 into the beginning of verse 8, we see the first chapter pairing, that is of two causal commands related to devotion. That's at the end of verse 7 into verse 8. Then at the end of verse 8, we're going to see the second chapter pairing of two cleansing commands about transformation. And then finally in verse 9, we'll see the final third chapter pairing of two convicting commands that are about emotion. And so what we'll see throughout these middle chapters of this booklet on repentance is that when we submit to God in repentance and faith, it always produces a new devotion, a new transformation, and a new emotion in our lives. That's how we can examine ourselves to see if we are standing in repentant faith before God and before his word. And then that'll lead to James's back cover to this booklet, which is given in verse 10, where the original opening call to submit to God in humility is accompanied now with a thrilling promise of why we should obey. And so that's what we discover here in James' booklet on repentance titled Submit to God. And just to keep time for our prayer tonight, we'll just look briefly at chapter 1 of this booklet from the end of verse 7 into the beginning of verse 8. So with that in mind, let's read the passage that's before us tonight. And for some context, I'm going to jump back into verse 4 and then I'll read to verse 10. James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for us tonight, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of God, and we should thank him for it tonight. So let's do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your truth, and I thank you for the practical nature of James's letter written to us. Father, we thank you that as he penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the very wisdom of Christ, the mind of Christ was given to us. Father, I thank you that we have the ability by your Spirit to understand these truths. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to exhibit living faith by how we repent from our sins. Father, I pray that we would listen to James's writing here, that we would learn this booklet of repentance, and that we would be marked by the type of devotion that always accompanies those who have submitted to you in humble faith. Give us grace towards this end, Father, and even do a work in our hearts now to tear down any pride, any hardness of heart, any apathy or callousness towards you and your word, so that we might be sensitive and surrendered to the moving of your Spirit in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So after James hands us this booklet on repentance with this opening call to submit to God, he must know something about us to give us this booklet on repentance. We then open up the booklet and we begin to look at the middle chapters in verses, end of verse 7 into verse 9. And as I stated before, there are three chapters in this booklet that are all organized around their own pair of commands. We have two causal commands, two cleansing commands, and two convictional commands. And so for tonight, we're just going to look at chapter 1, which is two causal commands that relate to the issue of devotion. Devotion. That's at the end of verse 7, into verse 8, where James writes, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Notice those are two causal commands. In other words, those are two commands with a cause and an effect built into them. Resist the devil, and what will happen? He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and what will happen? He will draw near to you. There are no exceptions given. These are promises that if we do these things, this will be the result. And so let's just look at the first one. James writes, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here we are called to resist, to take our stand against the devil. And that word resist means that we're not sitting passive when it comes to Satan's influences or attacks in our lives. And we're certainly not seeking to be a friend of the world, which Satan controls as well, as verse 4 warns about. But rather, to resist the devil means that we are actively identifying and taking a stand against everything the devil stands for, promotes, promises, and encourages. This is what repentance looks like. It is a call to active resistance against the devil and his influences. And that makes sense because in submitting to God, you have changed your allegiance. You have a new devotion now. You've enlisted in God's army and your stand is now against the devil and his lies. As Ephesians 2 says, you once followed the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. You once followed their course unto destruction, but now your allegiance, your devotion has changed, and now Satan becomes enemy number one in your life. To be a repentant Christian means you have a new devotion. You are now actively resisting your former master, Satan, and you are now actively enlisting in God's army. And when you do that, we're told here that Satan flees. He's routed. And I want you to think about that. What a picture. If you take your stand, believer, against the devil, and you join King Jesus' side, You will never need to fear Satan's power ever again, for in Christ he's a vanquished foe that is ever ready to flee. I want you to understand that this is a call to courage in the Christian life. There is nothing that Satan is doing in your life or in the life of those whom you love around you that you cannot wade into with absolute confidence, knowing that Satan will flee if you enter into that situation in submission to God. As Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? To stand against the wiles of the devil. And then Paul tells us later on in Ephesians chapter 6 that if we do this, if we put on that gospel armor and we wrap the truth of God's word around us daily by faith, we'll be able to withstand in the evil day. He says we'll be able to do all to stand firm, and we'll be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There is no area of your life that Satan has control over. Christ has control over your life. And you can resist Satan successfully. Just as promised here, if we resist the devil as enlists in God's army, the devil will flee from us. And he will flee from us first because we are God's possession. And second, he will flee from us because we have God's presence. Look at the second causal command in verse 8, which is directly connected, I think, to the first. Right after James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, he then expands, I think, on what that looks like by saying, draw near to God, and what will happen? He will draw near to you. And this is why Satan, the archangel and roaring lion seeking someone to devour, would ever flee from us, mere humans, when we resist him. Let's be honest. It's because God is with us. And when we draw near to God, he draws near to us, and that's what makes Satan flee. As 1 John 4:4 puts it, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's like that old, I'm showing my nerdiness. It's like that old Abbott and Costello adaptation of Jack and the Beanstalk, if you've ever seen it. It's classic. that I remember watching when I was growing up. Jack, who was played by Lou Costello, is in Giant Land. And a bear approaches him to devour him. And Jack laughably puts up his fists in order to defend himself. And surprisingly, the bear runs away. And Jack thinks it's because he's so strong and you know, I fear nothing when I'm in the right. And he sings this whole song. Well, what he doesn't realize is the reason why the bear ran away is because the giant is standing right behind him. And that bear found someone bigger that he's afraid of, and he ran for his life. And that's exactly what's being described here. When we resist the devil, that promise that he will flee from us has nothing to do with us. The degree of our faith, the strength of our convictions, or anything like that. Satan flees us as children of God because we are children of God, and God is with us. And that is why we know that when we resist the devil, he will flee. We're not alone in that fight. God is with us, the God who has promised that when we draw near to him in faith, he will draw near to us. And that sends Satan to flight. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I want you to think, this gloriously happens at the moment of salvation. I think that's primarily where James is talking about right now, right? People who are failing the test of living faith, right? He is calling on them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Before you had a strong man who lived in your heart, as Jesus talked about, right? Satan owned you. Until Jesus comes and his presence drives him out. As you draw near to God, he draws near to you. And once he draws near to you, he is with you forever. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so there's a promise, a salvation promise here, but also I think a sanctifying promise as well. That means that when we draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That talks about seeking him that you might know him and walk in close to him in intimate fellowship, communion, and worship. That it is actually a relationship that you have with God. It's the very heart of Paul who cried out, oh, that I might what? Know him. It's the heart of Moses being expressed here who prayed, show me your glory. It's the heart of the psalmist who replied, your face, O Lord, do I seek. And this is what it looks like to be a redeemed, repentant Christian. It means you have a new driving devotion now with a promise that if I draw near to God, if I seek him, I will find him. If I seek for him with all my heart. This is what it means to be a friend of God. It is to know him as you ought. As John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So what does it look like to repent? It looks like deciding nothing is more important than getting free of Satan's power in this area of my life and getting to know God better in it. Nothing is more important. I'll do whatever he says. That's what repentance looks like. Nothing is more important than becoming at last, by God's grace, a devoted friend and worshiper of God. You know when someone is repentant. It's because they will show a new devotion. A devotion not towards the things of this world or the concerns that they might have. It is a devotion towards God and in pleasing him above all else. And so that's what chapter 1 teaches us about repentance. It's that when we truly submit to God in repentance and faith, it always results in a new devotion, one of resisting sin and drawing near to God. So, to make this practical, let me ask you a question. Is there any area of sin in your life that God has made you aware of that's come to your mind tonight? Well, this booklet, Submit to God, has been handed to you for a reason tonight. And the first chapter is calling you to action. Are you repenting of the sin that God is convicting you of tonight? If you believe you are, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm sure not loving it, right? I think I'm repenting of this sin. Well, then James asks this follow-up question in chapter 1. Then how are you resisting Satan in this area of your life, if you are indeed claiming to be repentant? What are you actively doing to kill this sin in your life? Because if there's no active resistance, there's no present repentance. What active steps are you taking to cut off this sinful action or attitude from your life? Who have you confessed this sinful struggle with for mutual prayer and encouragement and accountability? Are you truly repenting? How are you resisting Satan? Second, are you drawing near to God? Scripture repeatedly shows us that to put off sin, we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. To leave behind empty cisterns, we have to draw near to the fountain of living waters. To grow in our hatred of sin, we must grow in our love for God. And so, what are you actively doing to draw near to God? Are you meditating on his person and his promises consistently in his word? Are you treasuring up through memorization what he has said in both encouragements and exhortations about this area of sin and struggle in your life? Because if there's no active devotion, there's no present repentance either. Are you repenting? How are you resisting Satan? How are you pursuing God? I hope this is an encouragement for you, because sometimes we can think about the sin in our lives and say, man, I'm really struggling with it. And we might even go around and tell everybody, boy, I'm really struggling with it. And James is like, how are you struggling with it? Or are you just letting it run you over day after day, week after week? What are you doing to resist Satan in this area? And what are you doing to submit to God? This is what chapter 1 teaches. We'll have to look at the other two chapters next week. But for now, this is what repentance looks like as step 1. This is what a redeemed, repenting Christian looks like when he submits to God and his word in humble repentance and faith. It looks like receiving by God's grace a new devotion and exhibiting it, one that is marked by a fierce resistance to God and a jealous pursuit, fierce resistance to Satan and a jealous pursuit of God. So may God give us grace to be marked by such repentance and living faith for the glory of God this week as we commit to responding to him and to his word tonight in prayer afresh.